it say this is from, is that not a policy of the assessors?
No, it's of Taney County's.
Taney County. It's specific to Taney County.
Yes, sir.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, so it's, the only reason I was 2006 or 2016, so that'd be the 10th year.
Clarification.
Updated though.
Okay. Yes, with newer.
Newer years and newer.
Correct.
I think those numbers have changed. Move to approve Exhibit B with today's date.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
The next one, I have double assessed abatement number 213479. That you guys have?
Give me just a second. I'm going to find it.
Is this a case where in 2022 the split was done, but it wasn't marked to carry over into 23, and so we're just correcting it for 23? Okay.
Label it Exhibit C. Move to approve Exhibit C with today's date of October 13th, 2023.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I have erroneous assessment as our next one. Abatement number 213478.
Got it too.
Commissioner White, are you on the same?
Yes, that's what I was doing on the first one. Yes.
Label it Exhibit D.
That's a housing development that was a low income approved by the government.
Okay.
For so many years to be at a certain amount. And probably when all of the adjustments were taken off, it was taken off, not realizing it was one of them.
Right. Are we talking about the low income housing?
Yes, at Rich.
Correct.
Right. In the Ulrich system, for some reason, it fell off. You also noticed that in the 2025 assessments, the whole box is missing. They're working on that.
Do you have any questions on this one?
No.
Okay. Label Exhibit D. Move to approve Exhibit D with today's date, November 13th, 2023.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next order of business is Allis Acres and Arnie Property and Casualty Renewal Proposal, and we do have the option we may have to go into executive session on this as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
In front of us we have Mr. Jeff Gronister and Angela Cook.
Ashley
Cook. Thank you, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
I'm good. Thank you.
Just gave you a compliment. You see what he was thinking of when he looked at you. Angel.
Freudian.
So this is a follow-up to our last discussion where we talked about market conditions and our renewal, mm-hmm. and we went back out and surveyed the market based on those discussions that we had. We were anticipating probably a pretty good, maybe even 20-25% increase in some rates and We found that to be the case. We're looking at having a pretty good increase in rates, plus, of course, the county's growing. We heard the budget numbers, what the expenses and revenues are up, and property values are up. Assets of the county are up, so that's contributing some of it, some of the increase, but there are other factors that are in play with the markets. We're still seeing above average or above consumer inflation in the construction inflation area. It's outpacing consumer inflation quite a bit, so it's still cost more to rebuild a building. So insurance companies are dealing with that. We're still seeing catastrophic weather events happen. So that's also playing into the rate increases that we're seeing from the carriers. We've also had, specifically in Taney County, we've had some losses, and that is an area that has some sensitive information in it that we, if we do decide you want to discuss that further, we have that information here. So we did go out to market, like I said, to find competitive options. We had, I think, 7 responders. One of those has completely gotten out of Wright counties. 2 of those, well, Wright counties, but only with jails who have capacity under 100 at any one time. So there were 3 of them that were kicked out for that. 1 of them just declined due to losses. And then we had 2 carriers who presented pricing proposals. 1 of those was our previous carrier, Moperm, who we had experience with, and we like Moperm. Unfortunately, Moperm's premium came back in at about a 97% increase over last year. So their quote is probably not going to be one we recommend. We matched up the quotes, we matched up the terms, we matched up everything is the same. Their pricing is just considerably higher than where we are now with the Travelers. In light of that, if you want to look at the proposal, we've got copies there of the proposal. There are some changes this year other than pricing. Our deductibles. Property deductibles have gone. Last year we had a $250,000 flat deductible. This year they're changing that. They're going across the board with everybody a 2% property deductible with a $100,000 minimum. So, and that's based off the value of the building that's damaged. So
I will add that that's specific to wind hail deductible. That's
wind hail only, yeah.
All deductible. Good so point. Only losses regarding wind or hail. We're going to have a separate deductible, which we did in the past. It was $250,000. All of our carriers are increasing those typically to a percentage deductible. And the way that they calculate that is based off of the total insured value of the building. So if we've got a $100,000 building, our 2% deductible is going to be $2,000 for that building. It's not calculated based off of the amount of the loss, just so we're clear.
Except for it's $100,000 minimum.
That's correct. So all buildings together, it's not $100,000 per building. All buildings together to per occurrence. So one wind hail occurrence that affects 15 different buildings, we've got a $100,000 minimum deductible. Now it can be 10 different buildings, it can be one building that has $100,000 in damage.
There's a page in your proposal that looks like this that kind of explains how that works. Because we've also got an option if you guys don't like that that setup, there is a wind hail deductible buy down option. That we can buy that down to a flat $100,000 instead of the 2% deductible. So it limits your risk on the deductible side, on the out-of-pocket side. Did you find that?
Page 20.
So that the scenario on the left-hand side, this is based on a $5 million loss, and we just used the judicial building because it was the biggest one. It's $42 million. So that 2% of that would be $840,000. So if that building had a $5 million loss, then under the current scenario, 2%, you'd pay an $840,000 deductible. And then the insurance company would pick up the rest all the way up to 5. If you wanted to buy that down, the wind hail company, the insurer, would pay $740,000 and you would pay the $100,000 deductible, and Travelers would still continue to pay the same amount for their loss. You just buy a gap policy, for a better word, for that difference. If the risk of taking that 2% is something you don't want to do, then you could buy a policy to take that risk off the table. It's just an option.
Do we know what that cost of the buy down is?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's on the proposal on the back page. I think it's $72,000, something like
page
that.
Page 21, the page following that. So you're going to go with the column that says premium instead of previous year, and it's at the bottom. The windtail deductible buy down is $72,000. Obviously, this is something that has to be a calculated decision. If we don't have a windtail loss for 10 years, then it doesn't make sense. If we have one regularly every 3 to 5 years, it would probably make more sense, especially if they're going to be on the higher side. If we're windtail losses on some of the smaller ancillary buildings, probably doesn't make sense to do it because you've got a $100,000 deductible plus your $72,000 premium on this windtail buy-down. So again, it's just an option. It's not a requirement, but it's an extra layer so that it protects how much the county is paying out in the event of a windtail loss. It, like I said, most of our carriers are going to this percentage deductible, so they are getting away from how much they're paying first dollar. So we're doing a lot more of these windtail buy-downs as an option. That's the first layer that a separate insurance company, not Travelers, a separate company is paying out that first layer, and then Travelers would be coming in on their portion. It doesn't change anything for Travelers. It's just another layer.
It's just a way for the insurance companies having these higher percentage deductibles to lay off some risk. They're taking less risk now because they can, you know, they've got all these reserves sitting out there. They can get 4 or 5% on their money sitting out there instead of taking a risk and getting 1 or 2%. They're just backing off some of the deductibles and raising them so that their insureds are taking some of that risk instead of them.
We did talk about increasing building limits in our last conversation because those were a bit undervalued based off of inflation and what current market is doing. And so those have gone up. Page 5 references the prior year's total values at about $56 million, and then the renewal values coming in about $63 million. Just behind that, it goes in to break that out, basically where those increases are. But coming up a little bit more in line with where inflation has put us and that sort of thing to get those a little more in line. Travelers has blessed those, for lack of a better word, as well, has looked at those valuations too and concurred.
And we have been stepping up incrementally over the last 2 to 3 years to get them up to this point. So, and that's about 13% of your property increase is due to raising those values up.
These values that you're looking at, where are you getting your comparables? Are you considering those? This is Taney County.
Yes.
Are you doing it?
It's all by zip code, and it's based on current materials cost, labor cost, and conditions, and then what type of building it is, whether it's a frame building, a masonry building, steel frame building, what kind of mechanicals it has in it, all of those things go into play. It's not a market appraisal. It's a replacement cost appraisal. So it's what it would cost to actually build it here like it was, build it back to St. Louis.
With that being said, on some of these, does it take out the cost of like the concrete and the pavement?
Some of them it does, yeah. And some of them, when we went back through, they had automatically thrown in mechanicals. So like on some of the pavilions, there's no heat, air, or anything like that. So we pulled that back out.
Okay.
So we've already gone through, kind of scrubbed it.
And okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my question.
Yeah. So moving on from the property, unless you have any questions on any more questions on the property section there.
You said 13% of the 13% of the 25% increase is due to valuation changes?
That's on the property part, yeah. Well, the property was a little bit higher than 29% because that's where the bulk of your increase is in the property. 13% of that number
is because of
increases in value, yeah. You also had some asset increases in inland marine, so in your equipment, there were some new purchases for equipment. Automobiles was up quite a bit, 20 new automobiles on the schedule over last year at this time, so that was a pretty big chunk of the auto.
When you say 20 new, 20 replacements?
20 additional vehicles beyond what was on there at the start of last year.
Yeah. So there were replacements within there that were a newer vehicle for an older one.
And we have 20
newer ones, yeah. Or 20 additional ones.
I don't want to say new necessarily.